When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo.
Man, how's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. You all right tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm excited, man. I'm really excited.
Country Squire After Dark.
That's right,
and,
dude.
I think people can see us now, too, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, yeah. We're testing out a service that we might go on full in in the next year. More on that kind of to come soon. But,
down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. But definitely pretty cool. Man. So it is definitely, you know, pulling back the curtains all the way. It is Country Squire After Dark.
We are
here in the late hours.
Yeah, one of the co-hosts, which will remain nameless, whose initials are John David Cole, is a huge delinquent. And so we're having to do this post-work hours tonight. And Bo's daughter, Glee, was gracious enough to go to sleep so we could come in here and chat a little bit.
Yeah, that's pretty huge.
Record time, I think.
If she does randomly start to in the next room, we'll just have to pause and then go back to
it. We'll bring her in and see what she has to say about pipe smoking, you know.
So, what's going on with the Squire, dude?
Man, you know, it's been a really busy week getting geared up for Christmas time.
Yes.
A lot of retailers, you know, more or less kind of make all their money this time of year. At the Squire, we're fortunate enough to have just such a regular, wonderful customer base and friend base to where, you know, throughout the year, we've just got real regular customers. But there's still a lot of folks coming in kind of picking up gifts and, you know, things like that for different family members and frankly, gifts for self too.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's what you do.
I mean, that's just kind of a given, right? So, but yeah, it's been good. I'm thrilled. This is a fun topic tonight.
I think so.
What are we talking about, Bo?
We're talking about the warden of the church.
The warden of the church. the church warden pipe.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of timely, too, with the old, with the Hobbit movies coming out, because, you know, people come in the Country Squire all the time and they ask for Gandalf pipe.
Sure.
And, of course, I look at them and say, oh, we have exactly what you're looking for. But it's interesting. People kind of get taken aback or at least a little interested when they hear the name church warden. Because it's just such a unique name.
Well, let me ask you this before we get into the name. You know, as you mentioned, it is so popular because of the popularity of the Lord of the Rings movies,
right,
and books.
Right. Boy, Peter Jackson, man. They had a ton of those featured in this last Hobbit.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Big time. But I'm curious to know, and you might not know this, given, you know, in your time as a tobacconist has been during the Lord of the Rings kind of hype.
Yeah.
But previous to Fellowship coming out, I mean, was the church warden quite the popular pipe that it was? I mean, are we really seeing like a new renaissance for this pipe?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Yeah, the romanticism around that has certainly increased.
Sure.
Thanks to those movies and just kind of the rebirth of a lot of the Tolkien stuff. But you have, I think, over the years seen a lot of folks just kind of have that romantic view of Middle Earth or just fantasy in general when you see the church warden pipe, because it really does evoke a lot of, you know, ancient or just even medieval kind of lore, you know, mystique about it. So, but I do think, yeah, we've seen a big pickup as far as it goes in sales or just interest in it since then.
So if you haven't kind of picked up from our description being the Gandalf pipe and everything else, the church warden pipe is generally a long-stemmed pipe.
Yep.
The bowls may vary, as I've learned.
They do, yeah. My church warden is actually really small.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as the bowl goes, but they can be substantial.
And that's the thing. I used to think that a church warden bowl was a small bowl, but
right.
Y'all have recently gotten some in. I remember I'm salivating over one, and I don't need it, but I really want it.
I know.
It's a really, really cool. But yeah, that's kind of that would be how you would describe a church warden pipe.
Yeah, very long pipe. Absolutely.
So what are the origins of this pipe?
Well, it's fascinating. In the Anglosphere, we call it a church warden, but really and that sounds like such an old English name. You know, matter of fact, today, still in Anglican churches to this day, there's a warden of the church that sits in the back of the church that kind of keeps order and, you know, make sure nothing crazy is going on. But the church warden actually originated from the East. It actually originated from the Ottoman Empire and kind of the Middle East. And when there was a lot of trade between Eastern Europe and the Middle East and Near East, that's when that long pipe that they had over there that they smoked some of their Syrian and Balkan blends out of, that was just a thing they did. So initially, churchwarden pipes, which they initially somewhat even called Hessian pipes because of the Hessians in that region.
Oh, wow.
But they were real popular in Eastern Europe because they were kind of imported from, from the folks in the Middle East.
So wait, now how did they get, I might have missed it, how did they get the name churchwarden?
Yeah, well, the churchwarden, again, it wasn't called a churchwarden pipe until it kind of made its way over to Britain.
Right.
And that's what's interesting. And so the long-stem pipe almost really kind of has a different name in each sphere. In the Anglosphere, we call it a churchwarden. Interesting, you know, there's a lot of different kind of tales about how they developed, but probably my favorite and the one I've heard the most is, you know, like I said, in Anglican churches in medieval times all the way, or, you know, Renaissance, Reformation times all the way until today, part of the tradition is that the leader of the vestry is actually called the church warden, and they kind of oversee the order of the church, make sure everything's going okay while the services are going on, that kind of thing. And typically, the church warden, as tradition would hold, would sit in the back of the church. And the church warden pipe, they say, was actually got popular for that individual because he could leave the bowl hanging out the window of the church while service was going.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, you know, you just got this image of like, you know, kind of Renaissance, Reformation, you know, kind of high church going on somewhere in England. And then all of a sudden, you know, the warden at the back is kind of, you know, sitting back there with his pipe, hanging out the window, making sure the kids weren't acting up and no one was nodding off, you know.
Yeah. Now, is this,
it's really funny.
I don't remember why I'm remembering this right. Well, I know exactly why I'm remembering this right now, but I'm not sure if this is this position or not. Was this the position that they carried around basically two large staffs, one with kind of a big ball that they would bump like the kids that were falling asleep on the head? Like,
I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Somebody once told me this, that basically it was like this big round metallic ball.
Yeah.
And they would, you know, bop the boys' heads. And then the other one was like, it had a feather and they would tickle the girls so that they would wake up or something like that.
Well, I've never heard of that, but I think my church needs that today.
What are you saying, JD?
I think folks need to wake up. Yeah. No, it's funny. Speaking of that, I kind of do, because the church warden is a long stem pipe and is a pipe that kind of has that look and feel to it. It's almost like a billy club. Like, I could see a church warden like using it as a disciplinary tool, just finding some, you know, ornery little kid and whacking him in the head a couple times, make sure he's listening to the sermon.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. It seems like whenever we see church wardens used in cinema or in art,
yeah,
the stem is always a wooden stem.
Yeah.
It's not a lucite. It's not a vulcanite. It's wooden.
Well, wooden or clay.
Okay.
See, a lot of those. And, you know, really the briar and vulcanite, you know, did not become popular until the mid 19th century.
Oh, wow.
And so that's where you get a lot of that, you know, back before they kind of realized that briar was such a good medium for pipes. You just, you know, they used what they had and what they knew to use. And obviously that was just, wood they could find, or very commonly clay. The interesting thing about the old clay pipes with the long clay stem is that a lot of these taverns in Europe during this period would actually have tavern pipes. And the pipes, the church warden pipes that were these really long pipes, would have these long clay stems that were real brittle and easy to break. And so what they would do is they would put a pipe out on each table in the tavern or in the pub. And if when you walked up to the table and you wanted to use the pipe, you just broke the end off of it and you had a fresh mouthpiece.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go.
And so as the pipe kept being used, like it would just, you know, it would tear the end off of it. It would get smaller and smaller. And then once the mouthpiece was so small that it wasn't good anymore, they just throw the pipe out and get them another one, you know. So it's like they had tavern pipes that everyone could use, and you just broke the end off so you have a fresh mouthpiece.
So we're right now with everybody using the
Vulcanite, yeah, right, or a Lucite stem. Yeah.
I mean, is there...
Or acrylic.
Do you ever see people sell briar stems or wooden stems of any kind?
Yeah, occasionally you do. Yeah, I tell you, they're more popular from my experience anyway. I'd love to hear if any of our listeners have any other... you know, type of knowledge about this, but I've seen a lot of folks that just as a hobbyist love to carve their own pipes,
right,
not really for selling, but just because they wanted something that they smoke out of that they wanted to do. And I've seen, you know, wooden stems, you know, real commonly on just pipes that, you know, someone found some beautiful piece of wood and they really wanted to make a pipe out of it. So the most impressive one was a church warden. And this pipe was the stem on it was really long and very curved, and this probably 21-year-old guy that shops at our little shop, he came in and somehow I forget what process he was able to use, but he was able to take this very narrow, long, curved stick and drill a hole through it all the way through the stick without, yeah, piercing the side to make a stem. It was the most impressive thing I've
seen.
That
is some skill.
It was awesome. Yeah. That's a very coveted pipe. I don't know how he did it, but it was impressive.
Wow. That's insane. I know you've got a couple of guys that carve their own pipes that come and shop at the Squire.
Yeah.
At some point, we're definitely going to get a couple of those guys in to kind of walk us through the process. Because I know, you know, a lot of our listeners have been really interested. You know, if you're into pipe tobacco and pipe collection and pipe smoking, and, you know, there's just something. The reason that you're there is because you like the authenticity to it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And so the concept that you could potentially grow your own tobacco, that you could potentially carve your own pipe,
right,
is something that I think is really, it's a romantic idea that I think really appeals to a lot of people. Certainly does to me.
Yeah. You're already making a statement when you smoke a pipe. I mean, you just are in today's world, but like, you know, that much more when you've got your own, this thing that you created or you grew. I mean, there's something just really romantic about that,
exactly. Yeah,
which is really attractive. You know, on the church warden too, if you're a person that just looks at that and says, oh, well, that's a goofy looking pipe, I wouldn't want to smoke that because, you know, I'm a respectable this and this and this, whatever those kind of people would say.
Yeah.
You know, like for me, for instance, when I started smoking a pipe and started kind of building my collection, like I'd look at the church warden and say, well, that's kind of goofy. I don't know if I'd really get into that, or, you know, that's not really me. You need to, if you're a pipe enthusiast, you need to own one church warden.
At least one.
You need to own one. And I'm telling, the reason is not the look, it's not the practicality of it, because it's one of the most impractical pipes you've ever smoked, but it's the experience of it. It is such a different smoking pipe. It you know, obviously the stem is much longer.
It's more fun to smoke.
Well, it is fun to smoke.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're, you know, on some journey.
Yeah, exactly.
But the stem is much longer, so the smoke is cooler, but also you have to pull on it and get a different rhythm and cadence when you smoke a church warden pipe. And it's just a totally different feel.
And even still between those, it's different from the curved church warden and a straight church warden.
That's exactly right.
I found interesting because, you know, as we've mentioned on the show before, I own both. I've got the straight one that's my fishing pipe and has been for a long time.
Right.
And then I got the new one that I bought relatively recently.
It's got more of a curved stem.
That's much, like, probably the most curved stem of anything that I own.
Right.
And I was kind of surprised at the different, you know, like,
absolutely,
the different experience that I got from smoking that than I did from my other
straighter one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everything's amplified with the church warden because they're just so different, but and it's so much bigger. But yeah, if you're a pipe enthusiast and you don't have a church warden, you really need to find, and there's some great deals on ones, like, you know, I mean, you don't have to spend $100 on a church warden to get one to just kind of, you know, get a good idea of what it would be like.
Y'all had a good thing going during the Celtic Fest.
We did, man. We had in Jackson.
Y'all sold out of there.
We did, man. I didn't think, man, you would have thought we were giving away gold bars or something. I did not realize we would sell that many church wardens. But we have this Celtic Fest in Jackson where all these people have Scottish and Irish and Welsh kind of ancestry come together.
And everybody else.
And everyone else that wants to be, you know. But, man, it was great. Everyone was wearing kilts and drinking Guinness and all this stuff. And we sold, I don't know, the Squire, we sold maybe 35, 40, 45 church wardens, I mean, in a day. I mean, it was just, it was ridiculous. Yeah, it was great.
That's
a lot of fun.
Well, Church Warden's a great pipe. Definitely check it out. Check out the Country Squire, too, because there's some great deals that y'all have got going on.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got in several Savinellis. We've got a beautiful GBD that just came in, and we've been rotating through several Nording Church Wardens, too. I think that one you were actually looking at was a Nording.
And it's gorgeous.
It's stunning pipe, hand-carved in Denmark by Eric Nording. Thing is fine.
And if anybody wants to get that for me for a Christmas present, I would be totally fine with that. Well, good deal. Well, awesome. Awesome stuff.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Pipe question of the week.
And the pipe question of the week this week comes to us from Anonymous.
That's right. Actually, I think his name is Brett. He was in the shop today.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, Brett gives us, is it better to stick with one blend per pipe, or is it okay to mix and match? This is an excellent question.
Yeah.
You know, to some, especially to the new guys, they might, you know, hear a question like that and freak out a little bit, like, oh, no,
right.
What have I been doing?
Right.
And to some of the collectors, you might even think like, oh, yeah, no, I've got this pipe for this blend and everything else. But is there a right and wrong way? What is the right and wrong way?
Yeah, there are a lot of answers to this question. Generally, if you are and this is a great question, and we probably covered this before on the show, but, you know, this always deserves a chance to come back. But, generally the answer is yes. If you have different categories of tobacco that you enjoy, I would definitely say, you know, you'd probably want to use different pipes for those. That's if you're a very regular smoker. Now, let's say you're the person that, like, you came to our shop and you found a briar pipe that you pulled off the wall. And, you know, you're not spending a fortune on it, but you just kind of want to get started and see if you try a few blends and see if you can kind of find one you like. You're not going to hurt your pipe by those first few times just, you know, smoking maybe a little of this, a little of that out of it to try. But over time, as you become a more regular pipe smoker, or just as you do it more just in general, there are a couple different categories you want to be mindful of when, you know, putting tobacco in a pipe. Your first category that most people are familiar with are the aromatic blends.
Right.
Aromatic blends are typically cased with something, which is just basically the flavoring process they use after they cure the tobacco. And that casing adds almost, it's really like a syrup. And so those are going to be kind of wetter tobaccos, a little more juicy. And they will leave flavors in your pipe that you probably don't want to mix with other smoky or non-flavored blends. A lot of times they'll call it ghosting your pipe. Some of those residual flavors will kind of linger. And so, you know, typically as you kind of develop different tastes and if you like to smoke different blends, most folks will have pipes that are dedicated just to aromatic tobaccos. Now, if you've got aromatics that are very different from each other and you smoke those a lot, you know, some folks will even say, this is the one I use for this caramel tobacco, and this is the one I use for this vanilla tobacco. But typically, and what I do personally, is I smoke all my aromatic pipes all my aromatic tobaccos out of pipes that I kind of have designated in that category.
Makes sense.
You know, you've got, in general, we're painting with real broad brushstrokes here, but you've got two other categories of tobacco when it comes to kind of the pipe, you know, world. One, of course, is your English blend. English blends, traditionally, they're called that because it's just a style of blend that was popular, and I guess is popular in England.
And those are the ones that are very, very bold, right?
They're bold. They've got, of course, Latakia, which is a Syrian and Cyprian tobacco That's very robust, smoky, very smoky. It's got kind of a peaty, scotchy flavor to it. When I smell, like I stick my nose in our jar of Cornishmen at the shop, I just smell like a really robust scotch. Like it just, it has kind of hints of that to
right.
it. But, yeah, so Latakias, you definitely want to keep, again, over the long haul, if you're going to smoke a bunch of different stuff over the long haul, you want to keep Latakias and English blends and Oriental blends, which are all kind of related, in different pipes than your aromatics. And just because the ghosting, the different flavors that mix, one of the nastiest experiences I've ever had with my pipe is loading the bowl up with Cornishman, which is our house, one of our house English blends at the Squire.
Right.
And then immediately after that, smoking some Blue Ribbon, which is a blackberry blend.
Oh, dude, you want to talk about different tastes.
It was disgusting.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, if you could imagine like burnt blackberries, it was, it was pretty raunchy. So, yeah, I mean, again, this is over the long haul. If you're a new pipe smoker, don't freak out. It's real easy to get overwhelmed with all this stuff. But, you know, like you can sample a bunch of different stuff and kind of eventually start to figure out what you like. But over the long haul, if you're going to smoke a bunch of different blends regularly, definitely stick to different pipes. The other category is Virginia tobaccos. I love Virginia tobaccos. They're just real. And again, I'm painting with broad brush strokes. But Virginias, and this is kind of my favorite, but tobaccos that aren't artificially flavored, or I mean aren't added flavor, I shouldn't say artificially, but don't have added flavor, but also don't feature the robust Latakia. Real clean, straight tobacco. Like to me, just the thought of, wow, that's what tobacco ought to taste like. You know, a good punch. It can burn a little hot when you, if you smoke it too fast, you puff it a little slower, but just real naturally flavorful. If it's got any sweet, it's all natural sweet. And some, the Virginia tobaccos, a lot of times you can burn those in a English pipe, a Latakia based pipe, or an aromatic pipe. They kind of play with either team. But a lot of folks like me that smoke them real consistently, real regularly, will actually have pipes also just for their Virginia tobaccos, just to kind of keep them separate.
So just kind of from my own personal knowledge,
yeah.
Parsons, Blue Ribbon, and Rivendell are all aromatic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely an aromatic guy because those are my three go-tos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they're great, you know, particularly in the South, we love stuff that's just sweet. And those are the ones you associate with, like, oh, my grandfather smoked a pipe and, oh, that smell that he always had in his truck and everything. It's just that real sweet smell. You know, those are typically going to be aromatic blends. I'm a Virginia blend guy. I like it. Of course, I like it all. But
what's a good Virginia that you have?
Oh, Meriwether.
Meriwether.
We have one called Meriwether.
I have to try that sometime.
It's delicious, man. It's all naturally sweet. It's got a little punch to it. And it's just really, really good. Like I said, it just kind of tastes like tobacco should taste, you know. We've got, and then we have a few hybrid blends, which kind of feature characteristics of both. I typically tell people to put those in an aromatic pipe. But that would be like Hunting Creek or, you know, PS blend or something like that. So
I got to tell you, it's making me almost hungry just talking about this.
Let's go to IHOP, man.
I'm really looking forward to when we get a chance to sit down and talk about these various blends and especially these three categories and pairing them with appropriate Scotch, whiskey, and otherwise.
It needs to happen on a Country Squire After Dark.
Definitely.
Very soon.
Definitely. All right. Well, good deal.
Yeah.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire questions.
Here we go.
Quick fire with the Squire.
We've got some people submitting them. That's awesome.
That's right, man. This is actually our good buddy Carl, who's a regular contributor. And I got to mention before we get into this, on Facebook, he actually posted up a picture over Thanksgiving of him listening to the show while holding his baby.
That's so cool.
And like it's a selfie in the mirror. And
yeah.
I was just like, man, you're my hero. That's awesome.
That's really sweet.
I don't know if I told him this or not, but Carl, if you're listening, we know you are. I sometimes am in that exact same situation while I'm editing the show.
Right.
So I feel you, brother.
Kindred father spirit.
Yeah. He writes us, "You guys are seriously the best thing I've found since I found my first pipe." So we really appreciate that. Carl, his quick fire questions are such: Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner?
I got to go with Thanksgiving, man. Yeah. It's just, I mean, really, that's, I mean, that's the whole point of Thanksgiving.
Is the meal.
Is the meal. You know, I mean, yeah, we're, you know, we have these romantic images of like pilgrims and Indians and all this kind of stuff. But man, you're just going to eat turkey and get stuffed.
You know, you're
watch
right.
The Lions play football, but that, you know,
you know, that's the thing. So, yeah, I'm gonna have to go with you with that as well.
Yep.
But mostly because Thanksgiving dinner has always been for the most part consistent, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
we all kind of have the same Thanksgiving dinner for the most part.
That's true.
Whereas Christmas dinners, I have found have varied in different places,
kind of all over the map.
My wife is from Grand Rapids, and yeah. she actually her family eats steak for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Now, whereas we had a roast, but actually for Christmas dinner we had gumbo, but for Christmas lunch,
which, South. That yeah. sounds awesome.
But for lunch we had a roast and these peas that my grandmother makes, and oh, it's gonna be good. I can't wait for Christmas.
So I have to take this opportunity to tell y'all, every morning, every Christmas morning, my family always eats cheese toast every Christmas morning.
Really?
And that goes back like probably almost 60 years. Like,
wow.
This is something that my grandmother started with her kids, and now their kids have started with us.
Do you think that comes out of, like, the Depression era?
I don't know, but I'm telling you, every Christmas morning, it is cheddar and some type of, like, pumpernickel or something, but it is always cheese toast. And I tell you, the big treat, of course, in Mississippi, we have Mississippi State University, which is a land-grant school, and they make their own cheese at the college. And so
that's right. And they send it to their alumni.
And they send it to the alumni, and you can buy it in these cheese balls, like these large balls. It's mostly Edam cheese, actually. But every Christmas morning, we eat, and that's like the really good Christmas is when
yeah.
we get the Mississippi State Edam cheese. It's awesome. Yeah. But cheese toast, man, I'm all about it.
Oh, man. My grandfather actually.
And mom, if you're listening, by the way, you're coming to my house for Christmas this year. So I'll make sure we got all that covered.
Can we get her on the show? We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. I don't know.
My grandfather used to get those giant balls of cheese, and
yeah.
I remember he would always like slice off like a quarter of it and give it to us, which is fun. All right, next quick fire question is, ooh, this is a good one. Cartoons, 90s Transformers or G.I. Joe?
Transformers.
All the way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just have to go that route. I don't know. I have a lot of respect for G.I. Joe and G.I. Joe fans, but...
I was never into G.I. Joe, and I don't know if it's because... I just, I don't know.
You're such a pacifist.
Well, now, there is something that Carl, you know, he says 90s Transformers. And
yeah.
I got to tell you, Carl, 90s Transformers was actually Beast Wars. 80s Transformers, I think, is what he meant to
say. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But 80s, so between 80s Transformers and G.I. Joe, definitely 80s Transformers. Same thing with 90s Transformers, still going with Beast Wars. I was a fan of Beast Wars, but I just never could get into, never could get into the G.I. Joe.
I had trouble. Yeah.
And last but not least, Mario or Luigi?
That's good.
Are you an oldest child or
gosh,
a middle child?
It's one of those things, like I kind of, at first glance, I'm like, oh, Mario, because I always played Mario. But man, I kind of want to go with Luigi on this because I always looked at myself as the underdog, you know, and
yeah.
Luigi never got kind of a fair shake. He was always number two.
Dude,
you know?
No, there's a,
yeah.
And it was from, this mashup that somebody made of, Super Mario Brothers and Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
No.
Oh, I'm going to send this to
That's
you tonight.
Out of control.
It's hilarious. It's like this whole movie trailer for, you know, Mario.
Yeah.
And anyway, the thing just went viral and got so many hits. They did a sequel to it and everything else. And they made a music video, which is this Mario rap.
Oh,
and like, it's actually on my running mix because it's just so like intense and in your face. And they've got a hard version and then they've got a clean version where they bleep everything out with like Mario sounds.
Oh.
Dude, it's awesome.
That's really great.
There's a segment where Luigi comes in and he's talking about how he's been in the game forever, but still nobody plays him. You know, but if you see me, it's because you've been effing with my brother and
oh
all this
my
other
gosh,
stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's
that's so funny.
It's pretty hilarious. I'm gonna have to go Mario. I'm an oldest brother.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go Mario.
You gotta go with Mario.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think I probably would go with Mario too, just at first glance, but my heart, I don't know. I have feelings for Luigi as well.
Well, listener Charlie's gonna be mad at us. This was he gets upset whenever our quick fire questions are more of a slow draw question.
Oh man, I know. Shoot.
Think about it this way. Sometimes it's quick fire, like, you know, right at your side, and sometimes more right. like old school musket.
Yeah. You know, you got to pack it and make sure it's loaded and, you know, doesn't backfire.
Much like a pipe.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, we got some great listener feedback this week from iTunes. We've got Beto Chaps, who writes, Country Squire Radio is by far my favorite podcast. It captures the essence of what makes pipe smoking so enjoyable, blending great conversation and setting it alight with passion for pipes.
Man, that makes me feel like $1 million.
Our iTunes reviewers are like the most poetically like awesome people.
Oh my gosh. I mean, wow. I'm going to sleep easy tonight after that one.
That's great.
Thank you for that comment. That's really great.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And at Kate's Brett says, it's 5 a.m. getting ready for work and just found out I won author Z Bartel's new book. Awesome start to the day.
Yeah.
So Brett actually won the Christian Gentleman's Smoking Companion, Smoking to the Glory of God. Last week that he won it?
I think that's right.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, congrats Brett again, and man, I hope you enjoy the book. I've got a couple copies at the shop, and they've been fun to peruse through.
Yeah, Zach's gonna hook us up. We're gonna send those out to him. He's gonna hook us up with signatures.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so awesome stuff. Well, if you want to send us your feedback, please do so. The best possible way you can do that, if you haven't already, head over to iTunes and write us up a review. Even if you don't listen to the show from iTunes, you can still get in there and leave us a review. Just, you know, create a screen name and you're good to go. We greatly, greatly, greatly appreciate that when you do that.
Thank you very much.
And of course, we will read it on the show.
Yeah.
Also, you can email the show. Email us your questions, quickfire and otherwise, to csr@podastery.com. Again, that's csr@podastery.com. On Twitter, I'm @TheRealBoYork.
And I'm @JohnDavidCole. John is with no H. Or you can get us at the shop's Twitter account with @_CountrySquire. And, of course, be sure to check out our website at thecountrysquireonline.com.
And go see The Hobbit. This is going to be,
Heck yeah, man.
I got that coming up. And like I said, we've got some fun Hobbity-esque stuff coming your way next week.
Yes.
Watch the Facebook page. Follow us on Facebook, and you'll see some teases as we get closer there. But
yes.
Really excited about that. Oh, man, I was about to say let's go have a day, but there's no day left to have. So
right.
let's go have a night.
We'll call tonight. See you, Bo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.